words in it got a hold of me here a while back, and I've been praying about planning on preaching on this subject. And it's talking about, of course, this scripture is what Jesus Christ quoted in the New Testament. The first verse there about him preaching, he's come to Israel. But it is a picture of what the Lord done for all of us, what God done for Israel. Literally, in the Old Testament, he does for us as Christians spiritually in the New Testament. Deliver them from bondage and all of that type of thing. And he began to preach the acceptable day, year of the Lord, the day of the vengeance of our God, and so forth and so on. But in verse 3, it says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double. That's a pretty good deal. For your confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. Back in verse 3, there's a little phrase there that says that what he's going to give you, he said, instead of mourning, I'm going to give you praise. Instead of you crying, you're going to get to laugh forever. Instead of you weeping and being sorry, you're going to be happy for everlasting joy. He says in verse 3, I give them beauty for ashes. I want to preach to you this morning on that subject, beauty for ashes. Now, of course, this reference to the earthly ministry of the Lord when he quoted this verse. And he said over there in the New Testament, in the book of Luke, I believe, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. What would you do this morning if you had an old beat up, rusted out, slick tired clunker in the parking lot, and somebody met you out in the parking lot and said, no strings attached, I'm going to give you a brand new Lincoln Town Car for that old clunker? What would you do this morning if somebody come to you and your house had just burned? I just heard last night of a house who had burned with children in it. And it was a terrible tragedy up in New York. And let's say that your house burned and wasn't nothing but a pile of ashes. Somebody come along and said, I'm going to give you a brand new home, fully furnished, with all the modern conveniences, swimming pool, landscaped, carport, garage, everything, riding lawnmower, central air condition, microwave, with everything you could want in a home for that pile of ashes. What would you say this morning if you maybe had an accident or something? You don't like your skin, or you were just getting old, and somebody come along and said, "I'm going to give you brand new baby smooth skin for your face." What would you do if somebody said, I'll give you brand new eyes? Maybe your eyes are going dim or you can barely see this morning. Maybe you can hardly see the scripture in your Bible, and somebody said, I can give you brand new eyes that you can have 20/20 vision. Or hair. Maybe your hair is all falling out, turning gray. And somebody says, I can plant you a brand new crop right there on your head. Would you take it? Sure you would. Teeth for scarred hands or arthritic body. And somebody said, I can give you a brand new body, absolutely free, nothing. Now, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I know a deal when I see one. And that's a deal. And God one day come by where you were and saw your life wasted and my life wasted, even as a teenager, nothing but a pile of ashes burned up. And brother gave us beauty for ashes. What a deal. What a deal. Buddy, I tell you what, that salvation is a bargain this morning for me and you. It's a deal, brother, it's a deal. And if you have a business mind, you'll get saved. Because it's a bargain, brother. It's a deal that you'd be a fool to turn down. He said, I'm giving the beauty of oil for the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit for mourning that they used to have. I remember before I got saved, I was never really, really satisfied. Never was. I never was. I was only 18 years old. And everything I'd do, it wouldn't really, really, deep down inside, make me happy. I'd do things that was fun. I'd do things that had kicks or thrills. But deep peace, like these boys are doing up here a minute ago, I did not know. I brought the ashes of my sin and laid them at the altar at Nebo Baptist Church on that April evening in 1972, and the Lord gave me the beauty of salvation. We have now the Holy Spirit of all before the house of mourning. I went down that night. I went down mourning, but I got up rejoicing. I went down sad, but I got up glad. I went down the altar that night condemned, but I got up, thank God, justified, and my slate was clean. I went to the altar that evening sorrowful, but I got up with a joy, 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 joy down in my heart. I went to the altar guilty that evening, but I got up free. And the Son of Man was in my soul. I went down to the altar that evening without hope. I got up with the blessed hope that I was going to live with the Lord forever. I went down that evening lost. I got up saved. Now that's a bargain, brother. That's a bargain. The Lord gave me beauty for ashes. I remember thinking about, I didn't have nothing to offer God. You have nothing to offer God this morning that would impress Him. You are not good enough to offer the Lord anything that you could bargain with. There's some people have the idea that I'm a good person. Wouldn't He be lucky to have me? No, no, He sure wouldn't. You'd be lucky to have Him. You'd be blessed to have Him. He can do without you, but you can't do without Him. How do you compare to these men? Every time I meet somebody that thinks I'm a pretty good person and I got a lot to offer God, you compare them to the men in the Bible. Do you realize this morning that the wisest man in the Bible was an idolater? Solomon. Do you realize this morning that the most patient man in the Bible cursed the day he was born? Do you realize this morning that the greatest Christian in the New Testament directly disobeyed the direct will of God for his life? Do you realize this morning that the meekest man in the Bible was a murderer? Now, how are your life going to stack up to Moses, Paul, Joseph, or Job, and Solomon? You can't even compare. God's not impressed by our righteousness. It's all His filthy rags. I'll never forget that night I got saved when I got beauty for ashes. That night I got saved, you've heard me tell it many times, how I was standing back in the back. I was on this side. The night before, I went to the revival. And a couple of my friends had got saved. When I heard that my friends got saved, something happened to me. Something clicked inside me. That's why it's so important that teenagers tell all their friends and take a stand for the Lord. Because nothing will influence another teenager to get saved like hearing about some of their friends getting right with God. Buddy, I heard about my friends being saved, and it was just like something drove an arrow of conviction in my heart. And my soul, I was miserable. And I noticed a few weeks before this that I wasn't really satisfied. You know, all I used to do was play basketball before I got saved, play basketball and play music. And I got to where I was getting even bored with that. I got to where, you know, I mean, you can only do it so many times. I mean, you can only win so many games. And then what? What then? I mean, you lay down and sleep at night. Then you go to school. You go to work. You go to work to get money so you can buy things. What do things do? Satisfy you a little bit. Car, clothes, food, house, whatever. And then what do? It has to be painted. You have to pay to have it painted. You have to work to get paid to have it painted. And I begin to see that. When I was a teenager, I thought, there's got to be something more to life than this. I mean, it's a bummer, man. It really is. I mean, it's just day in, day out, trying to get somewhere, trying to get something, and I begin to notice that I wasn't happy. I begin to notice that down inside me, there's like a hole about this big around, and no matter what I'd done, it didn't fill up that hole. soul. It was like I was itching inside and nothing wouldn't scratch it. No matter how, no matter what I done or where I went, it was always there. So I heard about my friends being saved. I went to that night I was at the school down there playing ball, me and my cousin shooting basketball. I said, well, if we're going to go, we better hurry. It starts in a couple of minutes. We went up to the church that night. Peeked in the back door. People were already up, standing up singing. There was a big crowd of people in there that night. Boy, I looked in and I said, oh man, that place is full. I'm not going to walk in there now. They're all going to turn around and stare at us. They're going to look at our hair. My hair was down here, like about right here. I said, if I go in there, they're everyone going to start staring at me and my hair, and I don't want them to do it, so I'm not going. So we left. The next day, I thought about it all day. Next night, we went back, sat right back there. There was just two sections like this, sat right back there on this side. That night, there was a bunch of young people got up and started singing. All of a sudden, there was something begin to move in that church. All of a sudden, my whole life was just right there, right in front of me. People was crying. People started going to the altar. I never seen nothing like it in my life. I mean, brother, my heart was going boom, boom, boom. My cousin was standing right beside me. He turned around and he said, hey, man, let's go get saved. And I said, no, I'm not ready to get saved. You want to get saved? Go on. I'm not ready. I stood there a few minutes. This girl that I went to school with sitting right in front of me. She turned around and she said, Danny, why don't you go down there and get saved? People's just going right and left. I kind of got mad at her. I said, I don't want to get saved. I'm not ready to get saved. But down inside, I wanted to so bad I couldn't stand it. God was all over that place. I had nothing to offer. I had an old pair of blue jeans with a flag sewed on them right down here like that. You know, like they used to wear them back, you know, in the 70s. And boy, I tell you, man, I was a hippin', hopping, part-time hippie with Grand Funk Railroad there in my MG outside. And boy, I said, listen, I'm just a dirty, low-down sinner, and I'm nothing. And I remembered all that Mama told me about God when I was little. And boy, it was just like there was a cloud in that place that night. Oh, I can't explain it to you this morning how wonderful and how glorious it was. About that time, boy, everything just kind of, something just kind of broke inside me. I looked at him and I said, let's go. And one foot went out in front of the other foot. The other one went down. That's all you have to do. You make that first step, man. You know, I believe a lot of people get saved before they ever get to the altar. When your will surrenders to His will and you say, yes, Lord, I can't do it, but you can. I believe a lot of people get born again before they get down here. I don't know if I did. It took me 45 minutes to get the sin washed out of me. But it didn't take the Lord that long to save me. I fell down on my face. I'm telling you, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. I laid a big old pile of ashes. I laid a big old pile of sins at the feet of the Lord. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you beauty for ashes. You say, well, He didn't give you no beauty. I ain't talking about that kind of beauty. I'll get that one of these days, same time you get yours. Amen? That's right, brother. You don't get that beauty yet. Our bodies are bought, but they ain't born again. Your body gets born again at the rapture. You're born again of the Spirit right now. Your body belongs to the Lord. It's bought and paid for. But your body don't get born again. You carry that sinful flesh around with you till the rapture. You get a new body, and then it'll be pretty, buddy. It'll be beautiful. Thank God He traded me beauty for ashes. I'll never be able to explain how things changed after that. How I laid down those old ashes of sin and the Lord blessed me with the beauty of salvation. Not only that, He gave me the beauty garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We won the victory. The Bible tells about three times. The 2 Chronicles, I believe one of them is in 1 Chronicles and the other one is in Psalms. It says the beauty of holiness. The beauty of holiness. Did you know there's something beautiful about holiness? When you mention your holiness nowadays and the holiness of God, a lot of people in America, you don't around here, but a lot of people in America immediately think of the Pope of Rome. When the Bible talks about holiness, it is in no way, shape, or form referring to the Pope of Rome. Brother, it's talking about the holiness of God Almighty.
heard about this guy. He was in a Catholic church, like a museum or something, and it had a big thing of a crucifix there, and had Jesus on the cross there. And then over here had Pope Pius the Third, and over here Pope Paul the Fourth, and something like that on each side of him. And the guy said, "Well, who are these people?" And the man looked at him and said, "Man, the bishop or whoever," said, "Man, you must be ignorant. You don't know nothing about church, about it. You don't even know who those guys are." And he said, "That's Pope John the Fourth, and that's Pope Pius the Third, and all of that, you know." And I said, oh, thank you for sharing that with me. I knew he's crucified between two thieves, but I never did know their names." I tell you, that's how it goes. Amen? Yes, sir. That's not what the Bible means when it talks about the beauty of holiness. It's talking about God lifted up on His throne. That's holiness, brother. Holiness that don't even do wrong, that don't even think wrong, that there's nothing sinful about, that's without spot, without blemish, that's perfect in every way. God gave that to us when we got saved. You know what we do up here on Sunday morning and Sunday night? A lot of people think, "Well, I wouldn't go up there and listen to him scream and holler." That's not what you're doing. We are gazing at the holiness of God Almighty. If all you see here this morning is me and the singers in the choir, you've missed it. Buddy, a while ago when I was sitting over here and the choir was talking about leaving out, and the people, I didn't see you for a couple of seconds there. And I didn't see them for a couple of seconds. I can imagine us going up through the sky. And I got a little gaze at the holiness of God. God gave you that. You ever notice what'll take an old boy off the rock and roll bandstand and out of the drinking holes and out of the drug holes of this world and stick him in church and put a Bible under his arm and put a tie on him and him hang around camp meetings? You ever wondered what'll do that to a person? He's seeing something in that church. It's the holiness of God. And once you get a taste of the holiness of God, the things of this world, they just ain't got it no more. Have you ever been to, have you ever know how it is when you go to camp all week and you hear preaching and you hear preaching and you're around the things of God and people shout and get saved all week long, then you come back out in the world and you see the way people do and hear the way they talk, don't it look dirty and nasty? You just say, shoot, this old world, it's dingy like a fog's over it. And God traded us the beauty of praise and holiness for the garment and spirit of heaviness. While others live a slave to the devil, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. While some man stubs up and says, "There ain't no preacher going to tell me what to do." Well, who is going to tell you what to do? The devil is, right? A woman stands up and she says, "I'm not listening to my husband. I'm not going to do anything he says." Oh yeah, we know. You're going to do what the devil tells you to do. You're not free. You're not free living in sin. And people don't realize that. They don't know it. You are a slave. But you know, I know a lot of people, Brother Danny, and they're out here, they shack up and they get drunk and they do whatever they want to. Man, they're free. Jesus said, "He that committeth sin is the servant of sin." See, if a man's out here sinning, he's not free. He's a slave to his habits. You can get free in here this morning. That's what real freedom is. I've always thought that was kind of strange. Here's a guy with a pack on his back, big as this, weighing 75 pounds, and a big old pair of combat boots on, sweating like a horse, and ain't had a bath in three or four weeks, and his hair all messed up, and his beard sticking out here, and brother just eating crackers, and sleeping under the interstate bridges, and just living in filth, and then going down the road saying, "Man, I'm free." He's deceived what he is. He's crazy. I mean, he ain't free. Prison be better off than that. Amen? But the devil has tricked people into making them think, if you do what you want, you're free. You're not free. You're obeying every order the devil gives you. Only freedom is in the Lord Jesus Christ. This world has a cheap, low, base, thrills, dirty joke. Have you ever noticed on TV and out there in the world, they have to make something dirty before they can laugh? You ever noticed that? So I tell our young people, let's say, listen, you don't need to have a dirty comedian in front of you to make you laugh. We've laughed and had a good time here this morning, and there ain't been a dirty joke told. Amen? I told my kids, I said, you don't have to listen to that filth. If somebody has to cuss to be funny, some fool like Richard Pryor, you know, or Eddie Murphy, or somebody like these talk show hosts like old Jay Leno and whoever they are, all the rest of them, brother, that's not freedom. That's not happiness. Don't ever watch somebody standing up in front of a brick wall. Don't ever do that. You'd be better off to go down where the sewer runs out and lick it. Amen, preacher. That's good, preacher. Yeah. You say, that's nasty. Not as nasty as what's going in your ears if you listen to people that got bricks behind them. Amen, boy, I ruined it then, didn't I? But I want to tell you what, brother, if you have to have something dirty going in your mind all the time, stick your tongue out and lick the sewer. I mean, you know, it's the same thing. Where it runs down, you know, down the street somewhere, and get down there and just lick it. And stick your hair in it. Get you a sip. That's what you're doing if you have to have something dirty. If you have to watch dirty movies all the time to get a thrill, that's the same thing you're doing. Matter of fact, that's a lot worse. Well, he gave us the beauty garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's a good deal. Not only that, number three, he gave us the beauty of everlasting joy for the charred ashes of torment. My, what a deal. God gave us the beauty of praise and holiness and everlasting joy. Now listen, here's the way it goes. Let me show you something. Listen to me just a second. You know what God done for you when you got saved? He made you a part of the bride of Christ. In the future, here's what's going to happen. Jesus is going to step out on the clouds. The Lord is going to come back in the cloud. He's going to say, come up hither. You will hear your name called if you're saved. You're going to leave this planet, go up into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. You get your brand new body right then. You will ever be with the Lord. Down here on this earth during that time is called the Great Tribulation. During the Great Tribulation, that's when the Mark of the Beast, 666, Antichrist, one world government, dictatorship, of which we're quickly approaching right now. That's going to be going on down here. We're up here being judged at the judgment seat of Christ. Then at the end of that 7-year period, the Lord will return with us to set up His kingdom on earth. That's called the millennium. Anna means years. Mil means 1,000. 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Over which Jesus Christ is going to rule over this entire world from Jerusalem as a dictator. And we'll live and rule with Him for 1,000 years. During that period, the devil will be on the chain gang and bound in the pit for a period of 1,000 years. There will be people who come through the tribulation, come into the millennium with their natural bodies over which the Lord's going to rule over. They will even have a chance to rebel, but the devil will get out of the chain gang. See, they'll go back to living 600, 700, 800, 900 years like they did before the curse was on the earth, or right after the fall there in the book of Genesis before the flood. Now, at the end of the millennium, the devil's going to get out of jail. And one last time, he's going to gather all the nations of the world. And me and you's going to be there. See, it won't affect us. Once the rapture comes, me and you's got it made in the shade, brother. Except for that judgment seat of Christ. Now, if you're saved, you're going to stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ. If you're not saved, you're going to stand at the great white throne judgment of which I'm going to read off everything you've ever done in your life. Even your idle words, and you're going to give an answer for it. That's why you better get saved. If you better get saved, he'll wipe your slate clean. If you're not saved, everybody and their grandma is going to see everything you've ever done in your life. And you're going to stand there with your head bowed. And you see all these armies, they're going to come out like this, and they're going to say, let's get him! Our boss is out of jail now. It's like Charles Manson getting out, man. And the devil will come out and he'll say, let's throw him off the throne! He's run the world for 1,000 years. Thinks he's something with that bride there, us. The Bible said all those armies are going to gather around him one more time. And the Lord this time don't fire a shot. And me and you's not going to lift one finger. He's going to look up like this and say, Father, take care of them. And fire is going to come down out of heaven and burn them up. You want me to show you that? Malachi chapter 4. Show you this verse of scripture as I close this morning. Malachi chapter 4. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Just at, before you come to the New Testament there, Malachi chapter number 4. You notice what will happen here at the second, after the advent, at the end of the millennium. Look at here what it says. Verse chapter 4 and verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. That's what I just got through telling you about. And all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly. This is where the Jehovah Witnesses get mixed up. They think this is hell. This is not hell. This is God burning them up at the end of the millennium. Then they'll be cast into hell where their soul never burns up. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall neither leave them root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son, capital S, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, arise with healing, righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Ye shall go forth as grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be what? What? Ashes under your soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord. You know what the Lord's going to do? He's going to burn up the wicked one day. And the saints of God's going to go up with those ashes under their feet. And about that time, I'm going to be standing over and I'm going to say, hey people, that's where me and you would have been if we hadn't have got saved. Them ashes right there. And then the Lord's going to say, but looky here. And the Bible said, and John said, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Now you think about that. You talk about beauty for ashes, man. I mean, you can preach on that all day long, how that God took your sin and gave you beauty, the beauty of holiness. But buddy, if you want it literal, there's ashes under our feet one day. And the Lord said, that's where you would be if you hadn't got saved. But looky here what I've got for you. And there's a solid gold city starts coming down out of the sky. 1,500 miles square. You could set that thing down and take up half the area of the United States. You could put a heap of people in there, man. And it's got solid gold streets. They fight over it down here. That'll be the sorriest thing up there. We're going to walk on it. And then you never get sick. You don't ever get old. You never get disappointed. You can eat anything you want. Amen? Don't have to worry about cholesterol. Your calories. You can throw your sweat into the oldies tape into hell for all that matters. You won't need an exercise program. You can throw them glasses away. You can forget it all. God is going to say, hey, I'm giving you this beauty for those ashes. Trade you. I know a deal when I see one, friend. You say, oh, you're just an old screaming hellfire and damnation hillbilly preacher. I might be, but I ain't stupid, buddy. If somebody's going to give me a mansion in glory where I can live forever and ever and ever and trade it for my ashes in hell, I'll take it. I'll take it. Don't deserve it, but thank God I'll take it. And I hope this morning that you'll let Him give you beauty for ashes. Let's stand by our hands. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Now, the Lord wants to make a trade with you this morning. Is there somebody here to say, preacher, my life ain't much. My life's a mess. All I've got's an old heap of ashes. But if God will give me heaven, God will give me eternity with Him forever and ever and ever, I'll take it. I'll take it. Is there somebody here this morning say, Brother Danny, I'm not saved. When you're talking about going to heaven this morning, I had to sit here and wonder and worry because I don't know that I'm going. But I sure would like to know. I sure would. You know what I'm going to ask you to do this morning, friend? I'm going to ask you to let us pray for you. I believe there's somebody here this morning Maybe you've never been here before. You've never been in this church building. You've never laid eyes on me. But somebody brought you. You just happened to be here this morning. And deep down inside, you know that you're not saved. Would you let us pray for you this morning? Would you? If God's speaking to your heart, and you just say by an uplifted hand, "Preacher, pray for me." We want to pray for you this morning. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to come to you. Nobody's going to put you on the spot. But we sure would like to pray for you this morning. Is there one here this morning and say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. But I would like for you to pray for me this morning. Pray for me." Just raise your hand. Slip it up anywhere. No one's looking. Anywhere in the building. Raise it up right now. There's people praying for you. There's people praying for you right now. Just raise it right now. Slip it up so I can see it. Take it right back down. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Is there another? Right quickly. Nobody's going to embarrass you. We're not going to call you out or nothing like that. We're just going to pray for you. Anybody? Right quick. Right quick. Right quick. Is there another? I feel like we ought to do this. Just wait just a few seconds. Is there a Christian here this morning? Say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved, but I'm not living like I should live." God bless you. Hands going up all over the house this morning. 10 or 15 hands. And why don't you make things right with the Lord this morning? It ain't never going to get no easier than what it is right now. You don't want to go to hell, my friend. You don't want to go to hell. You'd have been better off never to have been born than to die in your sins and go to hell. Do you know what the Lord wants to do for you? He wants you to give Him a penny, and He's going to give you $1 million. And your penny's counterfeit. He wants to give you a brand new Cadillac for an old beat up bicycle. He's got something that much better for you. Give Him that old life. Just say, "Lord, it's ashes. It's a heap. God will give you beauty." On the first verse of our song, in just a moment, I want you to get out of your seat. Make up your mind right now. I'm getting out of my seat. I'm walking down there. I'm getting right with God. It ain't nothing to be ashamed of. Jesus died for me. I'm going to go down there this morning. I'm going to get right. Father, do what ought to be done in our hearts this morning. Save that one which is lost. These that lifted their hands. I pray You'd give them the grace to step out of that seat like You did me that night as a teenage boy. And Lord, give them beauty for ashes this morning. I pray, God, for these Christians that need to come. Really need to get things fixed up. That they'd do it right now. In Jesus' name we pray, and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Come right now.
Just as I am.
Amen.
One,
come on. Come on, friend. Just get out of your seat and come. Come on. Right now. Right now. Somebody come pray with this
girl.
Are you ladies, please?
And that thou bids me come.
Amen. All I, come on, my friend.
On God I come.
Let's sing. You need to come. Come on, come on. Come on. You need to get right with God. Come on, move. Move out of your seat and come. Come on today. Amen. Amen. Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
When you boys come pray with me here.
Amen.
Yes, thank God. How about you, my friend? How about you? Come on, come on, young people. Teenagers, mamas, daddies, come. Come on. Come on, ladies. No lady, please. Amen. Let God help you this morning. No, the Lord wants to trade you this morning. Yes. Amen. Thank God. Amen.
Thou promised I
believe. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. What a blessing. What a blessing to trade ashes for beauty. What a deal, man! What a deal!
Just as I am without one plea,
have several at the altar praying this morning. Maybe you lifted your hands this morning, but you say, "Preacher, I'm just not ready." Well, listen, friend, them days are clicking off. Them days are clicking off. You ain't getting no younger. The Lord's coming soon. He's coming soon. Just like that, your chance can be over with. You don't know when your chances will end. Thank God for people willing to step out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God. We still have some praying. We'll sing one more verse. One more verse. This is your chance. You want to trade in them old ashes for something beautiful? Come to Jesus right now. Come on. Come on. Come right now. Amen.
Whose blood can cleanse each spotted lamb of God? I come.
All right, thank God. He's getting things.